It's been said a long time ago that a clear conscience is the best companion. And these boys of Jacob do not have clear conscience. They have guilty conscience that's just hounding them. It'll hound them till the day they die. Because they were wrong, they did wrong. In chapter 42 of the book of Genesis, Reuben said, "Did I not tell you, do not sin against the boy, and you would not listen to me?" Now comes a reckoning for his blood, the guilty consciences. A guilty conscience is a best companion, but they did not have it at all. Verse number 28 says, "Then he said to his brother, My money has been returned, and behold, it is even in my sack, and their heart sank. And they turned trembling to one another, saying, What is this that God has done to us? What is this that God has done to us?" And then we come on down. Genesis chapter 43. "Now the famine was severe in the land. So they came about when they had finished eating the grain which they had brought from Egypt, that their father said to them, Go back and buy us a little food. And Judah spoke to him, however, saying, The man solemnly warned us, You shall not see my face again unless your brother is with you. If you send our brother with us, we will go down and buy the food. But if you do not send him, we will not go down. For the man said this, You shall not see my face again unless your brother is with you. Then Israel said, Why do you treat me so badly by telling me the man whether you still had another brother? But they said, The man questioned particularly about us and our relatives, saying, Is your father still alive? Have you another brother? So we answered his questions, and could we possibly know that he would say, Bring your brother down? And Judah said to his father, Israel, again, Israel is the covenant name of Jacob, the God-given name of Jacob, send the lad with me, and we will rise and go, that we may live and not die, and as well as you and our little ones. I myself will be surety. Now that's Judah talking there now. I myself will be surety for him, and you may hold me responsible and accountable for him. If I do not bring him back to you and set him before you, then let me bear the blame before you forever. Judah will be the lion of the tribe of Judah. Judah had a lot of faults, but he was true to the promises of God. For if we had not delayed, surely by now we would have returned twice. Then their father Israel said to them, If it must be so, then do this thing. Take some of the best products of the land in your bags, and carry down the man a present, a little balm, a little honey, and aromatic gum, and opium. Opium was the rich man's medicine. People with irritable bowel syndrome, any type of intestinal disorders, they use laudanum or opium to cure it. Also, it was used for dysentery. It was used also for coughing. Like a cough medicine, codeine is the cough medicine. Codeine that they use in cough medicine is from this very opiate here. Pistachio nuts and almonds. And take double his money in your hand, and take back in your hand the money that was returned in the mouth of your sacks. Perhaps it was a mistake. And take your brother also, and arise and return to the man. And may God Almighty, El Shaddai, grant to you compassion in the sight of the man, that he may release to you your brother, or other brother, and Benjamin, And as for me, if I am bereaved of my children, I am bereaved. The all-nourishing one, the Almighty God, may He cause His heart to have mercy upon you. So the men took the present, and they took double the money in their hand. And Benjamin, and they rose and went down to Egypt and stood before Joseph. And when Joseph saw Benjamin with them, he said to him, his house steward, bring the men into the house and slay an animal and make ready, for the men are to dine with me at noon. So the man did as Joseph said and brought the men to Joseph's house. Now the men were exceedingly afraid. They were absolutely, their hearts were trembling. Because they brought to Joseph's house, they said, it is because of the money that was returned in our sacks the first time that we are being brought in, that may he may seek an occasion against us and fall upon us and take us for slaves with our donkeys. Treat us as animals. Guilty conscience. A clear conscience is the best companion, but they didn't have one. They knew that God was going to bring judgment upon them. And they came near to Joseph's house steward, and he spoke to him at the entrance of the house and said, O my Lord, we indeed came down the first time to buy food. And it came about that when we came to the lodging place that we opened our sacks, and behold, each man's money was in the mouth of his sack, and our money in full. So we have brought it back in our hands. And we also brought down the money in our hand to buy food, and we do not know who put our money in our sacks. And he said, be at ease, do not be afraid. Your God and the God of your father has given you treasure in your sacks. I had your money. Then he brought Simeon out to them. Remember Simeon, what Simeon did before. Levi and Simeon did what? They killed all the men of Shechem and stole everything that they had. Now, for all of this time, Simeon has been there in prison. He probably thought he would never see his family again. And he had a guilty conscience also. And he thought, all those men that I killed in Shechem, God is bringing their blood back upon my head. And all the things that we did to our father, God is bringing a curse down upon our head. Then the man brought the men into Joseph's house and gave them water. And they washed their feet, and he gave their donkeys fodder. So he prepared the present for Joseph coming at noon, for they heard that they were to eat a meal there. And when Joseph came home, they brought into the house to him the present which was in their hand, and they bowed to the ground before him. Then he asked him about the welfare, and he said, is your old father well? Of whom you spoke, is he still alive? And they said, your servant, our father, is well. He is still alive. And they bowed down, prostrated. They fell on their faces. Just exactly like Joseph's dream said many years before. And they wanted to kill him when he told them that dream, but now the dream is fulfilled. You know, there's a lot of modern-day prophets that really just tell stories. They just sit there and tell stories about all of what's going to happen. But I'm going to tell you something. When God writes something down, there is not one T that is not crossed, one I that is not dotted. It is true and sure. The prophets are all dead. The modern-day prophets spill forth lies. Sometimes it might make people feel better about what's going to happen, that God is going to turn this whole world around. And I hope that He does. But the modern day prophets don't know what they're talking about. They're lying. You know, Joseph Smith was a modern day prophet. Brigham Young was a modern day prophet. Muhammad was a modern day prophet. All of these men came about upon the earth after the prophet ceased. We have one prophet coming, the Son of God. We have two witnesses coming one of these days during that tribulation period. They're going to stand up and they're going to prophesy. But that's in a different age. We're in the church age now. And they said, "You're serving our Father as well, and He is still alive." And they bowed down in homage, just exactly like it said. Just like the dream said. As he lifted up his eyes and saw his brother Benjamin and his mother's son, he said, "Is this your youngest brother of whom you spoke to me?" And he said, "May God be gracious to you, my son." And Joseph hurried out, for he was deeply stirred over his brother, and he sought a place to weep. And he entered into his chamber, and he wept there. His chamber was probably where the bathroom was. The chamber. The chamber, the inner chamber, was where their toilet was. And he wept there. Then he washed his face, came out. And he controlled himself. He said, "Serve the meal." So they served him by himself, and they by them by themselves, and the Egyptians who ate with him by themselves, because the Egyptians could not eat bread with the Hebrews, for that is loathsome to the Egyptians. Now later on in the history of Israel, after the Babylonian Talmud and after the mission and all that, the Jews would not even walk into a Gentile's house, let alone eat dinner there. Because they were God's people. Now the Egyptians look upon the Hebrews as an abomination to eat with them. And they were seated before him, the firstborn according to his birthright, and the youngest according to his youth. And the men looked at each other in astonishment. And he took a portion to them from his own table. And but Benjamin's portion was five times as much as any of theirs. So they feasted and they drank freely with him. And he commanded his house steward, saying, "Fill the man's sacks with food, as much as they can carry, and put each man's money in the mouth of his sack. And put my cup, the silver cup, bowl, in the mouth of the sack of the youngest, and his money for the grain." And he did as Joseph had told him. And as soon as it was light, the men were sent away, and they with their donkeys. You know, a donkey was a very valuable animal back then. The word donkey means what? To walk carefully. They are careful. The word donkey means to walk carefully. And they had just gone out of the city, and they were not far off when Joseph said to his servant steward, "Up and follow the men. And when you overtake them, say to them, 'Why have you repaid evil for good? Is not the one with whom my Lord drinks, and which he indeed uses my divination?'" That word divination means to whisper. Nahar, nahar, nahar. "You have done wrong in doing this." And he overtook them and spoke these words to them. And they said to him, "Why does my Lord speak such words as these? Far be it from your servants to do such a thing. Behold, the money which we have found in the mouth of our sacks we have brought back to you from the land of Canaan. And how then we steal silver or gold from your Lord's house, with whomever your servant is found, let him die, and we will be my Lord's servants, slaves." They were pretty sure of their innocence, weren't they? Remember when Jacob said one time to his father-in-law Laban, he said, "Whoever your idols are found with, kill them." And that was Rachel, his favorite wife, the one wife he loved so much. He didn't know that she had stolen her father's gods. So he said, "Now let it be according to your words." Now let us be according to your words. Be it with whom is found shall be my slave, and the rest of you shall be innocent. And they hurried, and each man lowered his sack to the ground, and each man opened his sack. And he searched the beginning with the oldest, and ending with the youngest, and the cup was found in Benjamin's sack. Katie barred the door. They're in trouble now. They have no clear conscience. A clear conscience is not their best companion. And they tore their clothes. When each man loaded his donkey, they returned to the city. And when Judah and his brothers came to Joseph's house, he was still there, and they fell to the ground before him. Again, the fulfillment of Joseph's dreams. And Joseph said, "Then what is this deed that you have done? Did you not know that such a man as I can indeed practice divination? I can see and decree death if I wish, and life if I wish." So Judah said, "What can we say to my Lord? We can speak. And how can we justify ourselves? God has found us out, the iniquity of your servants. Behold, we are my Lord's slaves." God has found us out. Karma has come home to stay forever. We've been found guilty. Be found wanting. "Behold, we are my Lord's slaves, both we and the one in whose possession the cup has been found." The chickens have come home to roost. But he said, "Far be it from me to do this. The man in whose possession the cup has been found, he shall be my slave. But as for you, go in peace to your father." Then Judah approached him and said, "O my Lord, may your servant please speak a word in my Lord's ears, and do not be angry with your servant, for you are equal to Pharaoh. My Lord asked his servant, saying, 'Have you a father or a brother?' And we said to my Lord, 'We have an old father and a little child of his old age.'" Judah becomes the intercessor here, like his descendant with Jesus. Now his brother is dead, so he alone is left with his mother, and his father loves him. "Then you say to your servants, 'Bring him down to me that I may set my eyes upon him.' We said to my Lord, 'The lad cannot leave his father, for if he should leave his father would die.' You said to your servants, 'However, unless your younger brother comes down with you, you shall not see my face again.' Thus it came about when we went up to your servant, my father, we told him the words of my Lord. And our father said, 'Go back and buy us a little food.' But we said, 'We cannot go down if our younger brother is with us. Then we will go down, for we cannot see the man's face unless our youngest brother is with us.' And your servant, my father, said so, and you know that my wife bore me two sons. Jacob's wife bore him two sons. That was the wife he loved, Rachel. And one went out from me, and I said, 'Surely he is torn to pieces, and I have not seen him since. And if you take this one also from me, and harm befalls him, you will bring upon my gray hair, you will bring my hair down to Sheol in sorrow. I will die in sorrow. Now therefore, when I come to your servant my father, and the lad is not with us, since his life is bound up in the lad's life, it will come about, when he sees that the lad is not with us, that he will die. And thus your servants will bring gray hair of your servant, our father, down to Sheol and sorrow. For your servant became surety for the lad. I became surety for the lad to my father, saying, 'If I not bring him back to you, let me bear the blame before all, for my father forever. Now therefore, please, let your servant remain instead of the lad as a slave to my Lord. and let the lad go down and be with his brothers. For I shall go up to my father, if the lad is not with me, lest I see the evil that would overtake my father." You know, Judah is showing great repentance here. Showing great repentance for what has been done. He is sorry for what he's done. He's sorry for what all of the grief has brought upon his father. You know, Judah is the one that said, "Let's sell him." And he sold him. What a story. It's not over with yet. In the next lesson, we'll see their guilty consciences still abiding upon their heads. They believe God is going to work them over. And they still, all of their lives, they will have this guilty conscience on their hearts. A clear conscience is not their best companion. What a story in our lives today. Our lives to that we should be true and honest in everything we do. That we should always think of our Lord and Savior. That we should be good fathers and good mothers. That we should be good children to our fathers and mothers. That we should be citizens in the communities where we live that will be honorable, that we might have our best companion, a clear conscience. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for this story. Thank you for the lives you give us, for the whatever you give us, all the gifts of life and breath and health. And I pray for all those others out there. I pray for Otis. I pray for Gloria. I pray for all those who are sick. I pray for my wife with cancer now. I pray that you will soon get her to a surgeon, so we can get an opening to see the surgeon so they can remove her cancer. Father, please use us as your servants. Please forgive me where I fail you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.